welcome to Inside the Bear's Den. Now, here's Jason Alvin.
Good evening, and we welcome you back in, University of Northern Colorado Bears fans, to another edition of Inside the Bear's Den. I'm your host, Jason Alvin, as we chat all things Northern Colorado sports. We'll touch base with head wrestling coach Troy Nickerson to preview the Big 12 Wrestling Championships coming up this weekend. We'll also touch base with the respective UNC men's and women's basketball coaches, Jenny Huth and Steve Smiley, as the Bears wind down their season. One more regular season series to go. Weber State to the opponent for Northern Colorado. But first, let's take a look at UNC baseball. Carl Iwasaki against Colorado Christian a couple weekends ago earned career win number 300. So we want to tip the cap to the skipper there for Northern Colorado. They were unable to get on the board in the victory column against South Dakota State, falling 12-0, 6-2 in 10 innings, 6-3. And 12-9 there, wrapping things up on a Sunday. Jake Gitter for the Bears, 4 of 12 in the series, 3 walks and a run for the Bears, big time bat in the lineup. And they will face North Dakota State in a 4-game set starting Friday there at Jackson Field. You can catch all the action on the WAC Digital Network for Northern Colorado. Then you take a look at Northern Colorado volleyball. The Bears went up and they swept Idaho State in Pocatello. It was a tough match on Sunday, 25-22, 27-25, 26-24. And then Monday, the Bears took and wasted little time against the Bengals, 25-17, 25-13, and 25-18, led once again by Taylor Muff with 29 kills. Daisy Schultz, had 69 assists, and Kendall Feather, 38 digs in the two matches for Northern Colorado. They improved their record to 9-3 in the Big Sky Conference and now sit fourth overall, trailing Weber State, Montana State, and Northern Arizona there in the league. Women's golf was out at the Gunrock Invite in California, and after 36 holes, the Bears sit 10th overall with a 25 over 601 as they shaved 11 strokes off their morning 306 and knocked in a 295 there in the afternoon session for Northern Colorado, led by Abby Fleener, who netted 5 birdies in the round, including 3 consecutive for the Bears. Now we take a look at the track and field team as they finished up their indoor season as well. Ree Oliver recorded the second best triple jump in UNC history at 15.26 meters. It's the 54th best jump in the nation this season, and he worked his way into the record books in the long jump as well. A 7.15 meters is good for 6th all time in Bear history. So big weekend from Oliver down there in Colorado Springs. And now they head towards the outdoor season for Wayne Angel and his UNC track and field squad. So look for big things here coming up for Northern Colorado track and field. As we now look at the lone cross country meet of the season for Northern Colorado men's and women's cross country. And guess what? It was the Big Sky Conference Championships there in Ogden, Utah. Jesse Hayward paced the men in 64th place for UNC out there in Ogden. And Melody LaRoutier was the top female competitor, finishing in 25th for Northern Colorado as they wrapped up their abbreviated cross-country season there with their only meet. And softball for the Bears was in action in Utah as well, as they went 0-5 with a couple close losses to round out the weekend against Dixie State. So once again, another busy, busy weekend for Northern Colorado athletics, as a lot of seasons winding down for the Bears. Others just starting right up. And then in this spring season, volleyball right smack dab in the middle of their defense of their Big Sky Conference Championship from a season ago. They will host the Big Sky Conference Championships coming up here at the end of March, March 31st through April 2nd. So they'll look to regain their championships and head to the NCAA tournament. Once again, under head coach Lindsey Oates here for Northern Colorado. And finally, here in the opening, we're going to send our condolences once again to UNC football for the second time in a few weeks here, as assistant coach Mike Armour lost his wife here this past weekend, an administrator down at Smoky Hill High School. We just want to send our thoughts and prayers to Coach Armour and the whole Bears football community as another tough week for UNC football here in the spring. Up next, we'll have Troy Nickerson of UNC Wrestling. We'll take a look at the Big 12 Championships right here inside the Bears Den on 1310 KFKA. joined now inside the Bears Den on 1310 KFK by head wrestling coach Troy Nickerson. Coach, welcome back into the program. Always appreciate your time here today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Coach, you look at this season and it has just been so up and down, start, stop. How has your program dealt with all the starts and stops due to COVID? And how have you guys been able to stay in shape throughout the pauses?
Yeah, you know, I think our guys have done a really good job of, you know, adapting to a lot of the uncertainty that's surrounded the program. I mean, you know, obviously it's a very untraditional year. You know, there's been highs and lows, but for the most part, I mean, these guys, they're taking it in stride, and you know, they're excited moving into the postseason here. So, you know, we're worrying about what we can control, and that's getting prepared and stepping on the mat and competing each time we do.
You were able to get back on the mat at Air Force and really had a dominant performance down there against Utah Valley and Air Force. What did you like from your group down there in Colorado Springs?
Well, you know, just getting their offense off really was the biggest thing. I mean, that was our focus the whole week before that, you know, just going out there, scoring a lot of points. And, you know, our guys were able to build some confidence, go down there, get a bunch of wins, and really just kind of, you know, get that mindset back to where it needed to be heading into the conference tournament weekend.
Chris Sandoval in that weekend went 4-0. We haven't talked much about him here on the program, but what did you like from him?
I mean, he's continuing to attach to areas that, you know, we continue to work in practice. You know, we've switched a lot of our training over to individual training this past couple weeks. And, you know, that was probably, you know, with Chris and a lot of my guys, I mean, they really attached to the areas that they've been working on. So, you know, they're really staying locked in. Chris, you know, he had 4 matches down there, which is a lot for one day. He looked, you know, the best that he's looked all season, you know, which is the right time to be doing so. So, he's been to the national tournament before. You know, he's looking to get back, and I think he's got a great opportunity ahead of him.
Speaking of some guys looking to get back at the national tournament, you guys have 5 new guys ranked in the coaches' poll here for the first time this year. You know, do you take anything from those rankings? Is it obviously it's good to see and good for probably on the recruiting trail, but do your guys look at those rankings and take anything from that?
I don't think too much, you know. I mean, this last coaches poll, we had 7 guys ranked, which is the most we've ever had as a program. So it's, you know, for us as a coaching staff, it's nice to see that, you know, we continue to head in the right direction. We're getting more and more guys ranked and ranked higher each and every time. So, you know, it makes the recruiting, like you said, easier and, you know, just helping us continue to build this program. But, you know, these guys, I don't think they particularly pay too much attention to where they're ranked. I mean, they're just going on the mat each time and looking to get their hand raised each time they step out there.
You mentioned the Big 12 tournament coming up here this weekend, and it's one of those things. Normally you would have matches to pull from, guys wrestling against some of these guys earlier this season, but you've had so many Big 12 meets canceled. How do you pull from the experience with your team and get them prepped for what they're going to face at the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, as a coaching staff, I mean, we've done our preparation. I mean, we've done our scouting reports. We know for the most part who guys are going to have in their weight class. You know, it's just about once the seeds, which are supposed to come out later today, and the draws come out. I mean, just making sure that they're prepared for one match at a time, and, you know, not overstepping anybody and overlooking anybody, but just preparing one match at a time, and, you know, looking to focus on, you know, just continuing to advance in the tournament. So, again, I think we have a very talented team. And I believe that not seeing these guys as much during the year is actually plays to our advantage. So, you know, we're looking to go in there and just, you know, have our best Big 12 championship yet.
You mentioned the scouting reports and what you guys have done as a staff. How important is it for your guys in the film room? I know in basketball, I'm way more versed in that, but film is such an integral part of a basketball scouting report. How much do you guys use a scouting service and watching film with your team?
Not a ton, you know. I mean, I think each individual guy is different, you know, but as a coaching staff, I think it really helps us just kind of prepare for those matches individually and, you know, being able to say, hey, you know, we want to start this match fast, you know, we want to slow it down, you know, so on and so forth, depending on who they're wrestling, what their opponent's ability level is, where they're good, and just being able to expose the weaknesses, you know. So we do a lot of that on our side, and then each guy, I mean, you know, some of the guys, they want to sit down, they want to watch that film, they want to really break things down. Other guys, they don't really want to worry about it. They want to just go out and do their thing. So it's really catered to the individual. And, you know, outside of that, I mean, you know, as a coaching staff, we just want to make sure that we're prepared and kind of know every situation that could come up in a match.
Well, Coach, we look forward to the Big 12 championships coming up here March 6th and 7th. Obviously, appreciate your time and wish you the best of luck there at the tournament.
I appreciate it.
Head Coach Troy Nickerson right here on Inside the Bears Den. Big 12 wrestling right around the corner this weekend. We'll keep tabs on what the Bears do and hopefully be joined to preview the NCAA tournament for a few of these Bears here coming up here shortly from Coach Nickerson. Always appreciate the time, Coach.
Thank you, Jason.
Troy Nickerson right here inside the Bears Den on 1310 KFKA. We'll continue with more Inside the Bears Den next on 1310 KFKA. We continue on this episode of Inside the Bears Den, making her weekly appearance. Jenny Huth, head coach of the hottest team in the Big Sky Conference, four straight wins for Northern Colorado, went up to Portland and got a couple wins. And obviously, it's a tough place to play up there in Portland, and to be able to grind out two wins in these back-to-back series, never easy to do, but you were able to get up there and get it done. Kind of two different games played out up there for you, obviously, but tell us a little bit about your thoughts on your team this weekend.
Well, I thought going into the series, we did a really good job in preparation for our ball screen defense and really executed that well the first game, holding them, you know, their star players to limited points and, you know, field goal percentage, all of that. We did a really nice job. We made our free throws. We were 100% from the line. So I thought, you know, and our overall zone execution was good. I think we had 17 assists on that game. So just definitely playing better towards this end of the year. And then the second game was a little bit tougher. You know, they made a few adjustments. You know, their all-league players played a little bit better and just didn't quite have the exact same, you know, punch coming in. But I still thought we did some really good things in that game. And we started the game, we started the second half, and we closed well in that second game. So it was kind of a grinder. And, you know, the same opponent twice can be difficult. So just really proud of how we stayed and persevered through that second game.
You mentioned game number one and the being perfect from the free throw line. And it was Alicia Davis, 10 of 10 at the free throw line. How important is it for her to be able to expand and that aspect of her game? Because number one, she's arguably the top player in that position and in the Big Sky Conference. She's one of the top players in the Big Sky Conference, and she's going to get more opportunities at the foul line than most people because of the style that you play, because of, I think, the respect that she has as a big in this league. But for her to be able to go and convert 10 of 10 or be in a situation where 80-90%, that's got to be huge for you and your team.
Yeah, and we talked about it last week when we were prepping that we were last in the league in free throw percentage, and you know, we can't be. And in order to win close games, we've got to commit to this, and we've got to you know, in practice we're shooting in the 80s. So what's the disconnect between practice and games? And so I think it is a little bit of concentration, confidence, routine. So we talked about that, and then we said moving forward we need to be in the 75-80 range. And so let's start, you know, this weekend. And I thought our team did a really nice job just being concentrated at the foul line, understanding the importance of that space. And obviously Alicia is one of those key factors. She's actually had two games where she's been 100%. Eastern Washington, I think she was 13 for 13. And then this game, she was 10 for 10. And so, you know, she can do it. I think that's just a really important thing for her to see in herself that she can. And again, like, you know, she's going to get fouled. Getting her the ball is always going to be important for us. Just having that inside out play for us is really going to be important. And she's a key factor in that.
Speaking of perfect, Jasmine Gales in that game, 7 of 7, 4 of 4 from long range, 18 points for you. And I think she's had to – we've talked about this a lot, including, you know, going back to last season, but I think she's had to play a lot older and maybe – more composed than someone that's still really kind of just a young sophomore with the way that these games have gone this season, but still, I think, has been quietly one of your biggest leaders here for this team this season.
Well, and there is no coincidence. She was early on voted as a captain. She does the work in the dark, as we say. She does this behind-the-scenes work with her teammates. She, you know, she builds relationships, and she loves the game. You know, she's a fierce competitor, and she just figures out how to get things done. And I thought she showed a lot of toughness for us that we needed. Up there in Portland, she ripped down some rebounds. She hit some big shots. She locked in on the defensive end. So, I mean, she's definitely having to play older than she is, and I'm just really proud of her. You know, she doesn't play perfect. I'm on her a lot, you know. I want her to see the floor better. I want her to defend better. But, she's tough-minded. She wants to be coached. She's willing to be coached hard. And, you know, our team trusts her, and she, because they know that she has a lot of grit and toughness at her 5'9 stature. And so it was good to see her just had a really solid offensive game, both games.
And you mentioned it earlier, but you had 17 assists in that first game, six players with multiple assists. And I think that's probably maybe more important than one player getting seven assists is you have six people across the board making the extra pass, finding teammates, not forcing a bad shot, but finding a good shot. Just the importance of the ball movement and how that plays into your offense and going down the stretch, your teammates having the confidence to make that extra pass that their teammate will make the shot.
Yeah, and I think offense is, it takes time and it takes a lot of chemistry. And over the course of the season, I think we've done a good job establishing ourselves defensively so much better. Just our rotations are better, our overall toughness is better. But offense is one of those sort of creative sides of the ball where it takes so much timing and synergy and reading, and that just takes time. And I think it's a tribute to our team's synergy that we're willing to move the ball, look for the right spaces and gaps, especially later in the season. Again, that was an area of real weakness for us. We were last in the league in assists and last in the league in free throws. And so we have to take steps up in those two areas because that helps your offensive efficiency. But, you know, last year we were pretty good in zones. We were about 1 point per possession over our zone possessions. And this week's going to be a challenge. We have to get better at our man offense, just moving the ball similarly to what we did last weekend and sharing it and finding seams and getting inside-out touches and not turning it over. Those are really big, important facets moving forward and into the Big Sky tournament.
The two games, very vastly different. As we mentioned, you jumped out early, but in game number two, you relied heavily on your starters. The bench in game number one scores 22 points, just two in the second game. Talk a little bit about, again, Hannah Sementhal's performance and Michaela Eisenbar. I thought in game number two really stepped up when they needed to, hit some clutch shots and some free throws down the stretch from Michaela to pull out that victory.
Well, I think absolutely. You know, Michaela's the captain for us and really challenged her to stay steady even when things aren't going her way. In the first game, she really struggled, and I think she had a great bounce back game for us. Almost a double-double, hit some transition threes and our pick-and-pop action, and we changed a few things up, and I just thought she responded great. As well as Hannah, just told her, you got to shoot more. You know, you can't have three attempts in a game. Like, you've got to hunt for shots a little bit more. And, you know, she's such a good teammate that she's looking to pass and be a team player. And one of her roles is to shoot it. And so really challenged her in that. I thought we found her a little bit better the second game. And then I also think Jaden Galloway hit a humongous three-pointer for us late in the game. And, you know, she's been working on really being a contributor offensively. Obviously, she's a great defender, but figuring out ways to create for others, but also when she gets that open three or that open jumper, she's got to nail it. And I thought she hit a clutch three for us as well.
You want to be playing your best basketball in March. We've turned the calendar. We're in March now. Two games remaining in the regular season. Weber State comes in, a team that up until this past weekend had been struggling, hadn't won a game, and they get two consecutive wins against Sacramento State. What have you seen on film from Weber State, a team that, again, hadn't had the success that maybe they would have liked, but now start to find some things? Darren Hickok was the Big Sky Player of the Week, came in, averaged 25 a game this past weekend. What have you seen on film from the Wildcats that gives you some cause for concern here this weekend?
Well, I try not to say cause for concern because most importantly is taking care of us and doing what we do well. Secondly, respecting them as an opponent. You know, you never want to go in and not respect an opponent even based on their record. And then thirdly, they are playing better, and you can see the evolution of them throughout the year that they're kind of on film. You can see they're doing things well. It's just a matter of shots falling or getting that break, and you can see over the weekend they did that. But Darren's a great player. We're going to have to lock her up and really focus in on her. And then they're big inside, so defending some back picks and some cross-screen, down-screen actions, ball-screen action. We'll have to really do a good job on that, especially with their size. They're strong inside, keeping them off the glass, keeping them off the free throw line. I think they're top in the league in getting to the free throw line. So those are some things that we're really going to have to hone in on. And we're going to have to play great basketball to secure these two victories so we can get a first-round bye. That's the goal for our team, and that's what we're going to look at.
That was my very next question, is the importance of these two games, not just to finish out the season strong, but you've worked yourself into the number four spot right now in the conference standings. And we talked about it earlier. You've beaten two of the top three teams and had to play Idaho State without four players, rotational players and important pieces for you. You have to be able to get this by because it's so much easier just to win three games than it is four there in that tournament setting.
Yeah, that's a huge piece of it. And, you know, we always say you just got to take it moment by moment, possession by possession, quarter by quarter, and you can't look too far ahead, but you got to believe that you can be that team. And I think our confidence is growing. I think your belief has to be there 100%, even when you have moments of doubt. And then you just have to play hard and physical and smart. And you got to do it over a sustained period of time. And so that's what we got to do the remainder part of this year. And that starts when we play Weber on Wednesday.
Last question for you. You're a team that's in the top 10 in the country in three-point percentage, sitting right there at number 10. How much of a factor is it? One, you've got great shooters, but with the ability of them to have someone on the interior like Alicia Davis, the ability to get open shots because everybody is so concerned about what Alicia can do, you know, 5 to 10 feet from the basket and score at the rim, the effectiveness that she allows shooters to have, not even by taking a three.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's like you come in here and you're like, okay, this is what I can see the team becoming. And it's fun to see that that's what it's becoming, that we are really strong interior. And then we have really strong shooters. When we recruited Olivia Wickstrom and Jasmine and Hannah, we knew we needed to stretch the defense. So you put a tough defensive assignment on teams when you can hit the three the way we do, and then you can score on the inside the way you do. So now just our point guard play is really important too. Being able to hit the open shot. It doesn't mean you have to score a zillion points, but hitting that open shot just to keep people honest. So overall, I'm really pleased to where we're coming and becoming from that perspective, being able to hit the outside shot and then score on the inside as well.
Well, Coach, as we said, always want to be playing your best in March. You've hit your stride. Two more games here in the regular season. Best of luck, and we'll see you down the road in Boise.
All right, great. Thanks, Jason.
Head coach Jenny Huth right here on 1310 KFKA. We'll continue with basketball talk next. You're listening to Inside the Bears Den right here on your home for all things Northern Colorado, 1310 KFKA. Wrap things up here inside the Bears Den, joined by head coach Steve Smiley with his weekly appearance. And coach, 1-1 against Portland State, always tough. And these series is that I guess you can call them now. What have you learned about the preparation that it takes to play a team back to back like this here after, you know, 5 or 6 of these different series here so far this season?
Well, yeah, it's just different, you know. You know, whether it's good, bad, and different, I mean, it's the right thing to do, you know, this year with, you know, looking at, you know, both, you know, COVID protocols, less travel, and then just obviously budgets for everybody. So definitely the right thing to do, but it's just so different. And it's just interesting, you know, and you look at it like you look at Portland State, you know, I think they're 1-5 on day one and 5-1 on day two. And And that sounds great. It's like, well, you know, they're doing a good job of making adjustments. I think we're the complete opposite. I was actually looking at that last night. I think we're like 5-2 on day one and 1-5 on day two. And, you know, for me, looking at that, it's like, okay, you know, is it about adjustments? Which I think a little bit. There's not a lot of adjustments in that Portland State series specifically just because of how they play. I mean, you know, they're going to press and you're going to have to break the press and they're going to crash and you're going to have to rebound. You're going to have to make some plays without being able to set up because they're going to deny and not allow you to kind of swing the ball. So, you know, in that series, it's crazy. I thought we did a great job in game two. I mean, we had only 12 turnovers, which is really good against that press, and only 3 offensive rebounds for them. And I thought there was just so many good things that way, but we just didn't make the right shots or, you know, make enough shots, especially inside the line. I do think, going back to your question, Jason, you know, going to the big, big picture of this, you know, you look at this, okay, what translates? And I guess, you know, for me on the positive side, saying, okay, you're never going to play the same team in the tournament back to back. So I do feel good about our initial preparation. The fact that, you know, more times than not, we've won that first game. Because I do think that translates. What concerns me, obviously, is that, you know, why are you not winning that second game in a short turnaround? And I think that it's different factors. I think that, you know, we've struggled this year with a consistent bench. And we need guys to step up in the tournament, you know, off the bench, I think, a little bit. I think when you don't have that, I do think guys get fatigued. I think sometimes, you know, the load that we ask some of these guys to have, you know, for instance, you know, Matt Johnson, I thought he had a really heavy load this week. If you look at Coor, had a heavy load. Trying to redo that in 36 hours is tough. So I know I'm kind of babbling around on you a little bit, Jason, but I think that, you know, it's just so many different ways to look at it. The only thing I really know is it's not normal. You know, it's not what you do in a normal year. Usually you play Portland State in maybe early January, then you might play them again in middle February. And I think teams change too throughout the course of the year. So in our world, I think we struggled on day two, probably more so than anything else, is that, you know, some of our guys that play the majority of the minutes, I think they might run out of gas a little bit.
That was going to be my next question, is the fatigue factor, because you do rely so heavily on your starting unit. You've been without Trayshawn Smoots in that series, yeah. One of the guys that is asked to handle the ball quite a bit for you. But against a Portland State team that is relentless, that doesn't give you a possession off defensively, those minutes had to wear on, as you mentioned, Matt Johnson the second. Dalen Kuntz had to do a lot of ball handling, which he's not necessarily used to having that primary load. And even guys like Coor and Bodie having to make those decisions against that press. I think in that second game, you saw a little bit of that fatigue.
I think so, too. And, you know, that's a great point. It's funny. It's going back, actually, looking back at the schedule, you know, over the last several games. And I really, I think at this level, you really base kind of as you evaluate your team. It's really in your league when you get against like level opponents. And going to the very early part of our league schedule, especially after Christmas, you know, the second game of Montana State, when Dalen Kuntz went down 40 seconds into that game with his blown ankle, from that moment on, we've never had our full roster. You know, we lost Dalen for that game. And I think the next week was Idaho. And I think, Sam was out. I think Rod was out. Then you go to the next week, Greg Bowie was out. Then you go to the next week, Bryce Kennedy was out. Then you go to this week, Trey Smoots was out the entire time. And that's what the frustration is. And I think that's the abnormal year, you know, with just so many different things with protocol and testing and health and safety. And timelines are just so different that we've never had our full roster. And that's what gets frustrating. Because like you mentioned, Trey Smoots is a huge part of this. And Trey Smoots was playing really well before that shutdown. And, like, you know, when we won at Montana and when we beat Eastern Washington, Trey Smoots was a big, big piece of that. And to not have, you know, I think he's our fifth leading scorer and he's our top assist guy, or, you know, number one, number two within the mat. To not have that against a team like Portland State, it's really difficult. So, you know, we certainly don't want to make excuses with our guys, but I think when you look at it rationally, too, it is a frustration, and it does – going back to that game with guys like Dalen having to have the ball in his hands more, than you're right, that press, I mean, the way that we wanted to break it. And I thought Coor did a great job in that second game by bringing him up, because he could get those catches and it really solved it. But when Coor's up and now he's got to be moving back and forth, you know, 90 feet the entire game in that backcourt, it's going to wear you out for sure.
Coor had a couple double-doubles in the series, career-high 15 rebounds on Thursday night. Dalen Kuntz, I thought, really offensively showed his versatility. He was able to do a lot of things. The first game, he was able to get to the rim, score kind of at will and with contact. And then in game two, you know, he's 5 of 8 from the three-point line, and really a couple of those late ones that he missed, four shots in the trying to make that comeback. But I thought he really displayed kind of his complete offensive game here this past weekend.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think both Dalen and Coor, my take on it is I thought they both had their best series of the season. I thought, you know, starting with Coor, you know, I think he had, you know, combined 28 rebounds in those two games. And I think the biggest thing with Coor is just staying on the floor without, you know, having the foul trouble, which we've talked about. And obviously, that's been a big emphasis with Coor early in the year. So he's getting so many fouls. And now he's really done a nice job recently. And when he doesn't foul, we can keep him on the court. And he gets in a better flow. And I thought Coor was a guy that not only the rebounding, but just even offensive, they really were concerned about him, you know, and rightfully so. So Coor was great. And then going to Dalen, you know, I think it was his best week of the year too, not just because he scored, but I thought he really played with good pace. Thought he was a lot more. Some of the details we measure, like rebounding coverage percentage, it was his best effort of the year in those categories. And I think that translates into his overall. So, you know, the exciting thing is when you look at, you know, Coor and Dalen playing so well, if that can transfer too, you know, to the next series into the Big Sky tournament, you know, Bodie's getting off of, you know, basically a 30-day shutdown or whatever you want to call it. So, you know, Bodie really solid game Thursday, then got into foul trouble Saturday. But, you know, if you can get Bodie playing that too and Matt's playing at a high level, then a couple more guys step up. I mean, I really do believe we're right there. But I was very excited to see Dalen and Coor both play well.
Coach, let's talk about your lone senior that you did honor, Roderick McCobb. He's a guy that you mentioned earlier this year. He's really kind of a glue guy, does every little thing that you ask, whether that's take a charge, grab some rebounds, defend at a high level. Just what's his impact been for the Bears over the last couple of years?
I think it's been big on the court. I think it's been big during this transition time for our program. And I think it's even bigger off the court, you know, what Rod does and what he stands for, his beliefs. And you know, he's a guy that we've really leaned on. This year has been obviously about stuff on the court, but boy, you look at all the other stuff too, just, you know, whether it's, you know, the COVID stuff, the pandemic, the social injustice, you know, all the movements that we've been very supportive of, you know, with our guys. Rod's been a big piece of that, and he's really been kind of the I think the face of that, and that's not easy to do, but it's something that he's wanted to do, and he's done a great job of the internal discussions with our team when we have tough conversations, you know, whether it's Zoom meetings in the summer or whatever. Rod was always the first guy we kind of lean on to say kind of what's on his mind and how he felt. So his impact on the court, you're right, doing the dirty jobs and asking to do things has been huge. But what he does off the court too is probably even more important in terms of just really, really being about something bigger than basketball. And I think that's, at the end of the day, for all these guys, whether it's, you know, after college or whether it's get a chance to play pro like a Jordan Davis, a Jonah Radabaugh, things like that, that ball is going to stop bouncing. And once it stops bouncing, sometimes – you know, guys lose their identity of who they are. And that's not ever going to be Rod's case. He's about so much more than just the game, and just a pleasure to coach, and just, you know, pleasure to be around for these last 2 years.
Coach, let's preview this Weber State series, a team that we talked a little bit about on Saturday in the post game. They're an efficient team from the 3-point line, which is one of your guys' strength. You're a top 10 in the country in 3-point percentage defense. And really, as far as makes, I think one of the top two or three teams in the country in allowing 3-point makes. But this Weber State team is the second ranked team in the country as far as overall percentage. Obviously, I think that's probably key number one, is slowing them down from beyond the 3-point line.
I think you're right, Jason. That probably is key number one. I mean, it's like we talk about in all the series, you know, it's our system versus their system. So you're right. They shoot it really well from three. They shoot a lot of them. They don't shoot a crazy amount, but they shoot at a very high percentage. So you got to really limit that. You know, as I've started to dive more into their film too, I think that, you know, what makes them good is that they're good at all five spots. You know, they got, you know, five guys on the court, regardless of who's in the game. And they only play about 7.5 guys, but whoever's in that game at those five spots, any one of those guys can be, you know, a double digit score for them. So we, on a team level, got to do a great job of the threes. On an individual level, whether it's they got some really good guards like Jawara and Brown, Porter, they got some good guards. But then, you know, inside the post, Carlson, Bassett, Kozak, they got good players that, you know, they could go for 8 points, but they could also go for 17, 18 points if you don't guard them right. So it's going to be kind of a, you know, on a one-on-one basis too. Can you guard your guy? Because if you can, and we got to start flying around rotating, that's where a lot of their threes start to get created on rotation. So being able to limit them on a one-on-one basis is going to be really important too.
You spent some time on that staff there in Ogden. Yeah. And last year, I think, for Coach Ray was really eye-opening from the outside, the rest of the conference, the struggles that they had. But now they have this group of transfers, and they've found the consistency, which I think maybe in a weird year like this year, their ability to mesh with all these starters and guys that have played at Illinois and Florida and Loyola Marymount, like just being able to blend those egos. Talk a little bit about your experiences, one, with Coach Ray, and how do you think he's been able to mesh this team together to get them to play at such a high level?
Great question. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, being around Coach Ray for 2 years, and, you know, I consider Coach Ray a close friend and really a mentor in a lot of ways. He's a guy that, you know, if you look at their roster and you really study it, they've got multiple transfers playing, but they got some other guys that aren't playing. And I think for Coach Ray, the biggest thing is that regardless of, you know, whether you're a high school kid, a transfer, Division I transfer, junior college transfer, he doesn't care. It's all about meshing it together for the greater good of the team. And he's always had great teams. And you're right. You know, last year they did struggle. They had some talent. They had two of the best guards in our league last year. They had the preseason player of the year in the league. And they did struggle. And, you know, for him, I think he's very, you know, calculated and looking and say, okay, this isn't working. We're going to do something else, you know, and that's exactly what happened. And there's not many guys back on this year's team from last year's team. And you know, that doesn't surprise me with Coach Ray looking and saying, this is not working. We're going to try something different. And he's done a great job of blending those guys together. I think their skill sets, you know, the guys that are playing a lot of this, that their skill sets really blend together just from a basketball standpoint. And that's what they did a great job of when you bring a bunch of guys in, you know, do the skill sets match. And they figured out, you know, the puzzle on that one for this year's team. So they did a great job there. And, you know, I look at it, they're very skilled offensively. They do a great job, but then they'll guard you too. I mean, being around Coach Ray for 2 years, if you don't guard, defend, rebound, you're not going to play. And that's the separator on a team with probably a lot of talented guys that probably aren't playing either. It's the, you know, the line of the sand is you're going to guard and rebound. And so they've done a great job of that. And it doesn't surprise me that he's been able to mesh that together.
One of the other matchups that intrigues me, and we just talked about Cordial Cooch for you coming off maybe his best weekend and, you know, best couple game stretch for you. But him inside against Dante Bassett, the Florida transfer. Bassett kind of started slow, missed some time, but I think he's really come on as a force on the interior for this Weber State team that's really helped kind of solidify their ability to be where they're at right now in the conference.
Yeah, Bassett, you know, it's funny. They kind of got a kind of a three-headed monster with Bassett and Carlson, who's a Division II transfer out of Minnesota, and then the one big that stayed from last year, Michael Kozak, who he has been in the program, I believe, 4 years now. So they have three of those guys that just kind of, and they'll play two of the three together. They can all shoot and stretch it, but they can also post you up. But it's going to be a great challenge for Cord and for all of our bigs because there's, like I said, it's kind of a three-headed monster. But you're right, Bassett's played well. It took him a little time to kind of get in the flow of things. Who knows? You know, the situation, if he's had time or he's had to sit out as well, but he's a good player. You know, he's a player that he's from kind of the Oakland area, the NorCal Bay area. And so I've known about him for a while. And I believe, I could be honest, but I believe he played on the same AAU team as Trey Smooks in that Northern California area. They played on the same team. I think they played in the same year as well. Same program that produced Damian Lillard. And so he's been a kid that's been kind of known for a while. And I think that it's going to be a great challenge. And Bassett might play a ton. He might not even start. Who knows if they kind of shuffle those guys around. But it's going to be a great challenge for sure.
Coach, always appreciate your time. Conference tournament's right around the corner. We'll touch base with you after this Weber State series. And best of luck with the final two games and then into Boise.
There we go. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate you.
Head Coach Steve Smiley right here inside the Bears Den. We appreciate all our guests. We appreciate you tuning in right here on 1310 KFKA.